Aaron for playing. I'm just going to be up here so I can see everybody and see who really falls asleep in this church. And point you out and say, wake that guy up. You know, I've never seen a woman fall asleep in church. It's always men. It's Father's Day, so it's okay. Guys, if you want to fall asleep, I won't say anything today. But it's wonderful to hear a quartet. I can't remember the last time I heard a men's quartet. This is truly a wonderful day. Men's quartet. I would just invite you to stand as we hear God's word today. It's a Father's Day message. I kind of like going with that there's a special day that have something that directly affects that particular celebration. And so today we're going to look at Job, just the very first five verses of Job. And this is what it says. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. That means he had 10 children. And he owned 7,000 sheep. Notice, no hogs in this list. 3,000 camels, 500 Herefords, and 500 donkeys. Actually, oxen, yoke of oxen, 500 yoke of them, and a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words of yours here in this, the first 5 verses. There's a lot packed into this, these verses, Lord, but may you use them in our hearts, our lives here in this place, in this sanctuary, and in the lives of the fathers that are here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In Luther's Small Catechism, he points out that there's only one commandment out of the 10 that has a promise in it. Do you know which one it is?
The obey.
Yes. Honor your father and mother. That's the only commandment that has a promise connected with it. The promise is so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. That's the 4th commandment. It's the only one that has a promise in it. But notice it says, honor your father and mother. And that'd be for a Mother's Day sermon. But you won't get that this year because I wasn't your pastor at that time. So being it's Father's Day, we will be challenged and learn a few things from a dad named Job. You know, what's the first word that comes to your mind when you hear the word Job? I heard suffering. What was the other one?
Disaster.
Patience. There you go. That's what I was looking for. You've heard people say, oh, they've got the patience of Job. Because Job is a very patient kind of guy. You know, that kind of goes ouch already for us dads, isn't it? Are you a patient man? Was your dad a patient person? Are you a patient father here today? Or do you need some work? You need a little chiseling off some of those rough edges in your life? And of course, all you have to do is ask your wife. And she will be honest and tell you if you're a patient man or not. As I get to know you better, I will probably call on your name and ask you someday on that. Is he patient or not? But I won't do that today because I don't want to get run out of Milford quite yet. Today, I'm going to be giving away to the dads that are here. This is a root beer. Okay? Every dad that is here, I'm going to give a root beer when you leave. So if you go out a different door and you don't shake my hand, I will know. It'll be a warm root beer, but you can add ice cream to it and have a root beer float later on. Or you can put it in the fridge, put it on ice, make it cold, and drink it later on today, whatever it is. But I also want to use the dads here as to be our teaching points today. D-A-D-S, so there's 4 points that we're going to make that are going to all start with, you know, with dads. We'll spell dads as we go along. So I'll try not to knock this over. Use my hands. Maybe I should. There. Just to make sure. Our first teaching point this morning is that Job is a devoted and a dedicated man. A father. We could say that there are fathers today that you could have grown up with or that you know today that can be drunks. They can be dopers. They can be just plain doofuses. You know what a doofus is? Look it up in the dictionary or your iPhone. But do we find in Job that he was very committed and very loyal to his family, and most of all is that he was very dedicated and loyal to his God. And that really is the beginning point of any father. It is your relationship that you have with God, how you view God, that will get passed on then to your children, or your kids will at least know something about you and your belief system and what you truly was personal to you, what you believed about God. Job is a successful man. He had a very business mind, very good business mind, as we see of all the things that he owned, that he had as a possession. You know, he had a lot on his plate, just in the very beginning of the book of Job, of all the animals that were his, and he had to have people taking care of all of these animals as well, and he had servants. But he was a very business-minded kind of a guy and knew how to keep a lot of those plates spinning without even falling off. And that's the way it is for a lot of dads. You take a lot of responsibility in the job that you have or the job that you had. Your identity for men is really in what you do in life. You know, are you a good supporter? Are you a good provider? A lot of it goes along, you know, if you're doing well in the job that you're doing, that helps your identity and your self-worth. If you're not doing a good job, and you know, no one has to tell you that you're kind of a jerk. You already know that. Right, guys? Say amen. All right, that's kind of weak, but it's true. It's really true. You know when it's not working out for you. Some might say that Job could have been a very controlling and domineering father who demanded a lot from his children, because he made them kind of go to church, per se. He'd call them together and he'd make sacrifices for each one of his 10 kids, thinking that maybe through their celebration and the time that they got together, they had a good party together, that maybe one of them or some of them sinned in their heart towards God, cursed God some way, somehow. And so Job would do a sacrifice for each one of his children. Makes you kind of wonder what he would pray and say to God that the kids would have to listen in, hear their dad praying for them. Some of you grew up in homes where you never heard your dad pray. Some of you did. And those will be precious, precious prayers as the years go by, and especially when they're gone, if you ever were able to hear him pray. I heard my dad pray the last time I was with him when he was alive. He was in the swing bed. He had mesothelioma, which is a lung cancer. And We were heading to Estes Park, Colorado. I was going to do a wedding there, kind of a destination wedding. I told Dad, we'll see on Sunday, but I got to go do this wedding. We got to leave. He said, yeah, you just go. And I thought for sure I would see him again on Sunday, but it goes to show that nothing ever goes the way you think it's going to go. I got a phone call 1 hour before the wedding in Estes Park saying that Dad died. But before we left, we prayed together. I never heard my dad pray out loud, unless it was, come Lord Jesus, be our guest, the table prayer. But he said you'd like that. And so before I could even start praying, Sharon was with me at the time, and he started quoting the 23rd Psalm by heart. I don't even know the 23rd Psalm by heart. But he said that. And then he prayed just a simple prayer. No, he didn't pray. He just said, just want you to know that I asked Jesus into my heart to be my Savior. I couldn't believe it. I was hearing my dad say that. I said, Dad, that's the best thing I could ever hear come from off your lips, that you believe in Jesus. And then he prayed the Lord's Prayer by himself, out loud. And we prayed together, and we left the room, not knowing that that would be the last time. But I thought, well, if it is the last time, it was the best time to have had with him. And it turned out that it was. I don't know where I'm going with this. Praying. Hearing your dad pray. You will remember that for the rest of your life, if you had that opportunity. Job was one that had a devotion to God, and he wanted always what was best for his kids, just like many of you do. You want what's best. Even though they might not always take it that way, but in your heart, you know, you want what is best for them. And they will wise up as they get older to realize that that is really what you want, what you're trying to say to them. They'll figure it out. It's just too bad sometimes they don't figure it out when you're alive and be able to tell you that. But that's all Job is doing. That's the kind of man that he was. He just wanted what was best for his kids. He did the best that he could, what he knew how to do in conveying to them that they needed to trust God themselves. They couldn't go by his own, by their dad's aprons. Not, they don't have wear aprons, but they couldn't go by what his dad believed in. They had to make that personal for themselves as well, and then for their children whenever they came. The second point is admired or appreciated, approved by God and approved by those who knew him. In verse 1, it says that he was a blameless and upright man who feared God and he shunned evil. Verse 3, it says that he's referred to as the greatest man among the people of the East. You know, Job didn't strive in wanting the people's applause for his life. That didn't matter to him. But that's just who he was. He did what he knew, what was right before God, and he lived his life that way. And that's just who he was. No matter what time of the day, what time of the week it was, you would find him always being consistent. Now, there are some dads that probably aren't admired too much. They're addicts in today's world. They abandon their own kids. They have nothing to do with them. They don't call them. They don't send them cards. They don't want any kind of contact. They don't email them. They don't do these kinds of things. They don't text them. They, you know, no Facebook, no those kinds of things. There are dads who like to argue with their kids, thinking that they're always right and the kids are wrong. But Job, we find that he was admired. is appreciated by his kids and by those who knew him. So we got devoted, dedicated for D. D-A is appreciated, approved, admired. We go to the next D. It is discerning. Job is discerning. He was able to see what was right and what was wrong in his home. He had a disciplined spiritual life. Now, there can be dads who are very defensive. They can be very disobedient to the Lord. Those are the kind of deeds you don't want. But end of verse 5, it says that as he got together and called his children together, thinking that maybe one of them or all of them had sinned and cursed God in their hearts, it says that it was Job's regular custom that he would sacrifice for them on behalf of God of their sins. So he was very discerning. And it was regular. It's something he always did. You could expect that from him. Maybe there's times when your kids come and see you, and before they leave, you go, you know, let's just pray for you before you go. Sometimes my wife says, well, should we pray? I go, yeah, why didn't I think of that? You know? And sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. But I think that those are great teaching times that you just pray for a safe travel, just thanking God that they came to see you. Even if the grandkids were brats, you know, they didn't listen to you, just kind of pray for them that somehow they might straighten up. Next time they come to see you, they might listen a little bit better. Don't break this and don't break that. Don't jump on the furniture. You don't do that at home, do you? Oof, done, go on and on. That's real life. And down deep inside, you go like, you know, I'd rather have that than not having it at all. And when they leave, how quiet it is. And you go, hallelujah. We got our house back. But they're precious. The last one on dads is the S, that's just sensitive. Job is a sensitive man, as I've kind of already pointed that out. His heart is tender toward the things of God. He's aware of what's going on in his family. He's perceptive. And he just didn't want to think that his kids were sinning, would curse God in their hearts. And so that's the kind of guy that he was. So here's the test. It's a test for dads. The first D is what, Steve?
My wife did. Oh, dedicated to prayer.
Dedicated. Okay, good. Aren't you glad she took notes?
Very good.
You know, yeah. All right. So you know, if I start on this side, I'm going on this side. You're okay, Dave. I'm not going to pick on you. I'll pick on Dave. What's the A? D-A?
Admired.
He was admired or appreciated. Very good. Because Pat took notes for him, too. Okay. Let's go further back here. We got D-A and another D. Who looks wise back here? Okay. Bob, don't be looking at your wife's notes. The other D is what?
Discerning.
Very good. And Jack, the last S would be?
Sensitive.
Because you're such a sensitive guy, believe me. Yeah, dads. Those are just things that, as you drink your root beer, you can go over the letters as well. Dads. You passed, even though you flunked it because your wives kept notes. Saved by the bell from your wife again. In conclusion, which means we're coming to the end. In conclusion, are these words that spell dads, can they be said of you today, those of you that are fathers? Are you dedicated? Are you admired? Are you discerning? Are you sensitive? Those are good things to ask of yourself today. And maybe something just to talk to your wife about or to your kids about today. And don't feel bad if you go like, sorry kids, I'm just not really what I should be. It's okay to even tell that in front of your kids. The world doesn't need macho dads. There are plenty of them already. Today we need more dads who are honest and are honored for their devotion. They're appreciated and admired. They're discerning. And they're sensitive, all because Jesus Christ has made them this way. Or He makes you this way. Jesus makes a difference when a dad allows or surrenders his heart to Jesus Christ. It makes a difference. And Jesus can change, and this is the good news, Jesus can change the most stubborn man. Who's married to the most stubborn man here today? Don't raise your hands because my wife raised her hand. Honey, we'll talk about this later. But I was thinking of you as I even said this. And it's kind of true of all Germans. Pretty stubborn. It's a trait I don't like, but I think it's true. But you know, there's a good side of being stubborn, too. You can be stubborn as you believe in the God whom you trust. As you believe in Jesus, you can say, I'm stubborn, I'm going to believe in Him, even if you say, I shouldn't. Or if you tell me it's no good, forget Jesus altogether, I'm going to be stubborn and say, you're wrong. He's changed my life, and I'm going to be stubborn and stick to that, even though you don't like Him. Or you may not like me. Jesus can change the most stubborn person, the most prideful, the most impatient man, and make him humble. And that's really what the Lord would like to see in every father, every dad, in every man. That you and me is that we are humble. Humble. It means we think of others more than ourselves. You think more of your wife than yourself. You think more of your kids than yourself. You humble yourself. You lower yourself. You lift up others around you. Jesus is able to make you a different dad, a different father. If you let Him, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the dads that are here today, the fathers. And Lord, yes, we do have to admit that we're not all that we should be or need to be. And we can confess that today. We can say, I'm not that dedicated. I'm just not admired that great because I'm not dedicated enough. If I was dedicated, I'd probably be admired more. And I'm not discerning like I should be, or I just don't speak my mind at times when I should. And I'm probably not that sensitive like I need to be. But Lord, today I confess those things because I know I need Jesus Christ in my life. And it's only with Him can I move ahead and be the kind of dad, kind of father, the kind of husband You'd want me to be, kind of grandparent You'd want me to be, grandfather. And so, Lord, I just humble myself here right now at this point in time this morning, realizing how much I fail You, but at the same time, thanking You for who You are and that You take me just as I am. And that You will supply what I don't have. You will give what I cannot conjure up myself to be the kind of dad and father and grandfather you want me to be. So Lord, right now I just ask you to change me where I need to be changed. And I thank you, Lord, for the way that I am in the places that honor you and glorify the name of Jesus Christ. And if I'm a dad that's here today that has wandered away from the faith, that, Lord, you're calling me today to come back to you and to just turn it all over and give your heart back to where you know it needs to be. And you've been thinking about this for quite some time. You just have never really come to that point or place where you felt you needed to do it. But this morning, you know that the Holy Spirit is talking to you. And he desires for you to come and be the dad that's always been meant for you to be. So just put aside your pride, your stubbornness, and just say, Lord, here, I surrender. I surrender this to you. Make me who you want me to be. I'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray.